Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.
We can do all things through Him who strengthens us, and we can do, and we can get a revelation of that. Those things that happen bad to us will work together for good because He loves us and we are called according to His purposes.
Mm.
And then, out of that love that we get a revelation of, we can do miraculous things. We can change our families. We can change anything. Nothing will be too difficult for them who believe.
Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. Now, here's your host, Jim Rome.
It is another beautiful day. Today, we have an interesting guest. She was a movie star. A military sergeant nurse. Wow. Sergeant in the military? I hope she don't pick on me. Her name is Lisa Weaver, the founder of Same Page Ministries. Lisa has also been known as Little Wounded Knee, and let's find out why as we talk to her today. And I'm so glad to have you here today, Lisa. Hi.
Hello.
How'd you get here today?
Well, I was asked.
What we're interested in is your walk with the Lord, your ministry. I introduced you as a military sergeant nurse. Wow. And an actress for 20 years. You ought to be familiar then with broadcasting or recording sound.
Just a tad, yes.
Okay, probably more than me. You're adjusting all those knobs over there. Uh-oh. Okay, I'm interested in your ministry. You said in your interview here, you want to relay that God's kids are glorious. Relay that God's kids are glorious. What does that mean?
Well,
What I'd like to relay to everyone is that even as we speak, it's not because I'm better than anyone else. Mm-hmm. What I want to relay to everyone is that God's kids are glorious, that that they are beautiful and they are unique, and that they were born for good purposes that God prepared for them in advance to do. My ministry is really circled around a lot of bringing vision to God's children, mm-hmm. taking off whatever expectations that they may or may not have put themselves in, mm-hmm. and letting them see that God wants to do great and mighty things, even bigger than that which is written in the Word. Jesus said that greater works that we would do. If we could really get a hold of this, then we can change this world. We can change our neighborhoods. We can change. We can change the stinking thinking and the violence in the streets.
I want to go back here. You were talking about you want to relay that God's kids are glorious more than the Bible, because Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do. Actually said, you'll do what I do. That, most people can't even get there. But we are going to do greater things? I mean, just ordinary people? How does this happen?
I think that it mostly happens when we get a revelation of who He is, the love that He has for us. Mm. And it has to start there. Because if we think that we are in lack, then we will never be able to have anything to give. If we think that we are hurt and wounded and that we're the black sheep, mm-hmm. we have to come to the conclusion when it's the end of the day that our Father loves us and that He had us in the palm of His hand for that whole day. And when we get up and we put our feet to the floor, that He has us for the whole day. And if we can get a revelation of that, we know that no weapon formed against us will prosper, and that we can do all things through Him who strengthens us. And we can get a revelation of that those things that happened bad to us will work together for good, because He loves us and we are called according to His purposes. Mm. And then, out of that love that we get a revelation of, we can do miraculous things. We can change our families. We can change anything. Nothing will be too difficult for them who believe.
Mm. Oh, amen. Amen. And fill the earth with the glory of the Lord. Boy, I'm right in agreement with you. When I read the Bible, you know, I went to church for many years, and we read it sort of monotone. But when I read it now and the things that you're saying, they sort of explode in me. It's just like electricity going through me when you say the words all and greater. Now, you were talking about changing our thinking. So one of the things your ministry would be to change people's thinking. I think you said change the stinking thinking.
And I think that really we've gotten into a complacency in the church that seems to be comfortable, and it seems that a lot of it comes out of our own expression instead of the expression of the Spirit of God working through us and us yielding to that Spirit for the impossibilities. We start to get into stinking thinking when it's just us thinking around in a loop. It's almost like we think in a loop and we come up with good ideas, but they're not empowered ideas. And we need to have empowered ideas, especially for this day, because God's setting us up for the glorious outpouring. And I want to be right there in the middle, and I want God's kids to be ready to carry it, because one person can't carry it. We all have to carry it together.
You said about this loop, a loop of thinking. We're stuck in a program. You say that we should, I don't remember the words you said.
I hope that I can re-express that, because
that was good.
Yeah, it's sort of like we get in a loop and we come in with man's strategies and we come up with good ideas, but they're not God ideas, because, you know, he said that my ways are not your ways. My way of doing things are not your ways. And so we can't get it through intellect. It has to be by revelation that comes to your spirit. And when that comes to your spirit, it may not make sense, but you have to step out in it because it's your daddy that beginning with that love, knowing that he's given it to you and he's saying, can I trust you with? And then you step out and it's even bigger than what you thought it might be. You know automatically that it's nothing you can do for your, that you can't make it happen, that it would have to be him. And you know, even our director just got done talking about Peter stepping out of the boat and walking on the water. But I think that we have the opportunity to walk on water every single day. Every single day we can step out and we can see. We can, you know that God will catch us if we go under, but we can walk on water because we don't have to know the outcome before we step. We just have to have the trust knowing that he'll catch us.
I think the word you used before was people trying to do things that were not empowered.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and what does that mean, not empowered?
It's sort of, it can't be by our own intellect.
Would you say, without God's spirit, without his revelation, would that be?
Yes, because he's spirit and he's life. He's spirit and he's life. And so when he initiates something, he will bring every time spirit and life. He can't do anything outside of that. He's constantly spirit and life. And we in ourselves can't make up what he can provide. It has to be him because only spirit and life comes from him. Anything else is dead. Anything else is lifeless. And so life has to come out of the spirit of the living God.
Coming through these verses, I think that's empowered. Is that, would you say that's empowered by?
Well, yeah, because Paul prayed the prayer of that you might have wisdom and revelation, that you might know him better, that you might know him better. And it's sort of like the Father is speaking to you and allowing you to enter into this relationship, to enter into the secrets of his heart because he can trust you. And once he can start to see that that's a hunger of your heart, it says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, which is rightness, and he's all right, you know, then we can enter into that revelation and knowing him better, and he can trust us with those, with the big things. He'll start with the little, and then he'll trust us in the big things. And it's all by revelation.
I could feel the power of God coming off you and the presence of God around you. It's wonderful today to have you in the studio and be able to talk to you. What's your story? How did you get to this place?
Wow. Well, I'm going to go back a little bit because I want you to know that you're speaking to a kid that was abandoned by her parents. I was a young kid being put in foster care, being separated from her brothers and sisters. 15 years old, I ran away because I was badly beaten in the foster home that I was in. I lived in a garage for a while, and I was fed by friends that got done at the pizza shop and had a little extra at the end of the night. And, I lived in that lifestyle of needing, you know, to have some kind of acceptance. And so I followed the way of being able to drink better than anybody or whatever, you know, whatever it had to be. It was always like a competition for me. And I ended up going into the military. I like to tell some of the juveniles that I talk to sometimes, I like to tell them that, you know, I go into juvenile detention centers and I like to tell them, you know, I thought I knew everything before I went into the military. Then I got out of the military and I knew everything. I really messed myself up. But, you know, at the age of 30 years old, and there's a lot of story in between there, but at the age of 30 years old, I sat on my tub in the middle of the night with a young child in her crib, and I called out to Jesus, and he came. And I was an actress for a while, and 2 days after I called out to the Lord, I saw these auditions for a Christian theater, and I entered in, and the first assignment was to read the book of Luke. And I haven't stopped reading ever since. I can tell you that I can go to graves of friends that weren't so fortunate. I can go to graves to the people that I thought were more like my family than my real family. And I just get a righteous vengeance rise up inside of me for the vengeance of the Lord to make up for the lives that have been stolen. here I was hungry. I was in my church, and I was thinking, it had gone through some church splitting and everything. So I'm thinking, boy, my family's even getting taken from me here. And so the hunger still was there for the Lord, and I just kept saying, what is going on, Lord? And he called me away from my Christian theater that I was at, which was really hard for me. But he showed me Jesus left the comfort of the carpentry shop because he heard the cries of the people. And so I left there, started my ministry, but I laid it down because I knew the timing wasn't right. And my hunger was building, and I didn't even know who I was anymore because I wasn't doing my acting. And I got on a website to Bethel Church in California. And I
Bill Johnson's church.
Yes. And I got the information about a conference up in Mechanicsburg, which is only an hour away from my home. So I went to this conference not knowing who Randy Clark was or anything. This was a global awakening of Voice of the Apostles. And I went there all by myself, and I was worshiping the Lord, and I was in tears. And the Lord said to me, look around. And I looked, and people were worshiping the Lord with all of their hearts. And it was like he said to me, just like he said to Elijah, you're not alone. There are people that believe in me, that love me, that are seeking me, and that are on their face wanting to know me. Just like you, you're not alone. And during that conference, I heard about the Global School of Supernatural Ministry, GSSM. And I went to the stand, and I said to Max Myers, my director, I said, I'm coming. I don't know how I'm coming, but I'm coming. And now, just yesterday, I finished my second year of school at the Global School of Supernatural Ministry.
How many years do you have to go there?
Well, it's a one-year program, but you can go 2 years.
Okay.
And some people go into an internship. Now, I didn't feel that I was to go to, into an internship.
Okay.
Because I really feel the Lord is sprouting me off. He's given me vision and given me dreams and for lands, for cities, you know, and you know, I'll probably be going to Wounded Knee at one point, Indian Reservation in South Dakota.
South Dakota and an Indian reservation. Wow. I read a book. It was a book from the Indians' perspective of what happened to them and their lives. The book I read was Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee. What a story. You know, we weren't such big heroes. In fact, we were criminal the way we treated them.
Well, Wounded Knee is the poorest place in the United States. 85% unemployment. Many are dying of TB. The temperatures there go minus 50 to 120 degrees.
It seems that some of the worst land was given to the Indian. And when I read that book, I cried. It was an Indian telling the story or gathered these stories together of what happened from their perspective. It would break your heart to find out what was done to the Indian. And in fact, I'll put it this way. It scares me to think of what could happen as a result of what was done to them today. You know, are we reaping what we sowed there against these people?
Well, you know, I think what God, his vision is to go and cover that shame. His vision is to free them, because even though they can walk off the reservation or whatever, that was their land. They can look to the Black Hills where I'm talking, and they can remember those Black Hills were theirs and they were taken from them. And that is a constant reminder. And unfortunately, many Christians were involved in this. There was ones that got that were involved in cutting their hair and teaching them English to civilize them. And so there's hurt there. And I know that I'm not starting off there. I know there's plenty to do in Jerusalem before I go to Samaria, Judea, and all the ends of the world. But I'm starting right now to learn the Lakota language, because I want them to see that it was important enough to me to learn their language, just like they were made to learn English at one point.
Thank you, Lord.
But that vision needs to be restored. That. You know, with God, all things are possible, that they have a plan and a purpose for their lives that God predestined before one of their days came to be. And that I just want them to break into that vision and to cover, have that shame covered, and a newness of life to sprout out of that. because that will increase. I don't know. There's this new thing that's being talked about. It's called the sound, a new sound coming into the world, a new sound that's coming
new
in, a new sound that's coming out of people. And I believe we need the sound of the American Indian to add to the sound of the United States people. And I believe it's a sound of healing. It's a sound of restoration. I'm not one of these people that sit back and say we're all damned and going to hell and let's take the rapture out of here. I believe we got to make an impact before the Lord comes back.
Our job is to fill the earth with the glory of the Lord. At least what our work does, our obedience and our place is to fill the earth with the glory of the Lord. Now, my son, he adopted me. He is Cherokee Indian, Cherokee in English. And he adopted me and adopted my name. And he's got an Indian's temperament, you know. He says little, but it means business.
Well, let me just tell you a little bit about what happened with why Wounded Knee. When I was small, my mom was half Indian. She looked Indian, mostly Indian. And so the neighborhood that I lived in was prejudiced, and they would hit us with eggs sometimes. And they called my mom Wounded Knee. And they called me Little Wounded. They called me Little Wounded. And we had a speaker last year at GSSM. And he said, in his speech, he said, but nobody will go to Wounded Knee. And it was like an arrow was left from the bow. And it flew into my heart. And all of a sudden, I remembered that memory. You know, it doesn't have a death to me anymore. It doesn't make me feel shameful or anything, but I was aware of the reality, and it hit me in the chest. And then the Lord started saying, this is something that I want to bring my vengeance to the enemy, what he's stolen from your life. I'm going to use that which the enemy intended for evil. I'm going to turn it around, and I'm going to bring life to those people, because you know the pain, you know the disgrace and the shame that they feel has only been theirs. You have experienced the oppression of the enemy in those areas, and I will bring life out of that, because I will turn all things around for those who love me.
Wow. Do you have a name, or are you organized as a ministry yet?
The ministry is called Same Page Ministries.
Same Page Ministries. Good. Okay.
Founder of Same Page Ministries, and I think that, you know, that's just going into, for instance, I'm starting inside my local city. I know the Lord's given me a dream about a building. They're being a little, you know, hard to get that building right now, but I know that that building is mine.
Oh, and what praise God.
And what I need is, what I see the vision of the Lord is it's in a rough section of town, but I see the uniting of the pastors, a cleansing coming over them, a newness of life sprouting in them, and to their congregations to take strategically that area that has had violence and death in, and strategically bring the glory of the Lord.
Okay, and
same
these,
page.
These, okay, and this would be natives mostly. This is focusing on just the people in the city, or also Native Americans?
Well, I really feel that my calling is first to Jerusalem, but I know that the Lord is doing it, going to be doing it in people, in places, in lands. I just want to be faithful right where he has me now. I'm going to let him take me on this beautiful ride. I get this vision sometimes of being on a surfboard with a powerful wave behind me and just trying to ride it, just trying to ride it. And there's one saying that I always kept in my spirit, and that is, the task in front of you is nothing compared to the power behind you.
Could you say that again, Lisa?
The task ahead of you is nothing compared to the power that is behind you. And, you know, we just graduated yesterday, so my next step in the next couple of weeks is to really get my website up and running and
okay.
Stuff like that.
How did you come to know the Lord? What drew you there?
Oh, you know what? I think that seeds were planted when I was a kid, when I was even talking about the eggs getting hit.
Okay.
Sometimes we were getting off a church bus, that somebody would come into the city and pick us up. And so we'd get off the church bus and that would happen. But, you know, the church that we went to at that time that came for us was a Pentecostal church that was alive, and I remember the pastor having words of knowledge and calling things out, and he baptized me in a creek because I just wanted to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. but I just, it wasn't like I was saved, but I got something Christ. In my spirit. Mm-hmm. What was neat was my mom took us out of that atmosphere. I found that she was looking for a healing because she was suffering with some cancer at that time. But when we weren't no longer going there, I remember a group of women coming to the house, and they didn't ask to pray for my older brother or my younger sister. They said, "Where's Lisa?" Mm-hmm. And they took me into the kitchen and they laid hands on me. And you know, when I was talking about the foster care and everything, my brother, he was older. He ended up being put on his own. He went into the military. My little sister, she went into one foster home, but she didn't. She still to this day doesn't really remember my mom too much. Mm-hmm. But me, I went from foster home to foster home to foster home. And I remember looking up, you know, when I was like 14 years old, praying one time, "Lord, I don't understand this, but I know there must be a reason." And you know what? There was a reason. And what was really neat was that I even had that revelation that there had to be a reason. I'm just amazed that even though I didn't know him, he knew me. And he had his angels. He knew that I would be here even this day talking to you about the glorious Lord and the glory coming out of his people and who he is as my Father, who is an ever-present help in a time of need. And so I had those seeds that were planted, and I had some Jesus people, Jesus freaks, they used to call them. That didn't originate just recently. That goes back to the early 70s.
Yeah.
And I had Jesus freaks taking me to the barns, and I would be in worship falling off of the haystacks. And I didn't, like I said, I didn't know a deep revelation of what that all meant, but I knew that I wanted to be a part of it. Mm. And now I, you know, that's where I had the wherefore when I'm 30 years old, to sit on that tub in the middle of the night and say to Jesus, "You know, I don't want to kill myself, but I'm tired of living. I've been a nomad all my life. I've been gone from place to place, nowhere to call home. Would you take my life?" And he came, and those were the seeds that took root. Those were the seeds that were watered that day. And now my life is flourishing.
Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lisa. If you would like to get in touch with her, you can find her on Facebook. Lisa Weaver from Same Page Ministries. What a lovely person she is.
Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on. Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. But if you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.